Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We were talking during the break. I guess some news out of Tulane. Their quarterback for this upcoming season, TJ Finley, was arrested. Maybe not their quarterback anymore. Arrested for allegedly stealing a car.
Not great.
He's facing charges of illegally possessing stolen items worth more than $25,000. Tulane has, of course, suspended him. And we were saying, oh, yeah, didn't they have a really good quarterback that transferred? And Drew was like, yes. And Cody's like, didn't he go to Duke? We're like, I think that's right.
That's a great point.
Which the reason why.
Why did I know that? I don't even know his Mensa?
Darian Mensa.
Which is a great.
Why do I know that?
I don't know why. It's because they played K-State, maybe.
I don't know.
In the past, we've joked that, like, last year, like, Cody didn't know Bo Nix went to Oregon. And so it's become a joke on the show. The fact you knew that was actually very stunning.
You know where Cam Ward went to college, right?
It absolutely.
Yeah, you know Cam Ward. Where did he go?
Oh,
this year's potential
Florida.
Number.
Is that right?
Right state.
Close.
Right state.
Miami?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, it's one of those Florida schools. No.
What are you stealing a car for? Especially, I mean, I'm assuming he's getting nice little NIL checks to even at Tulane to be starting quarterback.
Yes.
Stealing a car, allegedly. Okay.
Tough for TJ because this is like his seventh year in college, sixth year in college. That dude's been around the block.
The person who just got arrested?
LSU, Western Kentucky, Auburn, here. I don't know if it was anywhere else. I can't remember.
Okay.
He's been around the block.
How long has he been in college?
Is he the last group of the COVID
I think this is his sixth. I want to say this is his sixth year of eligibility. It might even be his seventh. I might be wrong.
Okay.
But he's been around the block a little bit in college.
We'll get to the trash of the day in 15
like
minutes.
Perry Ellis.
That could have been the trash of the day as well, but we'll get to the trash of the day in 15 minutes or so. Let's get back to the Royals. They're off today. Vern's going to join us at 12:30, our Royals insider, to talk about the first two series of the year. In two series in, what do you guys make of this bullpen? Because while we already talked about the offense, I mean, yesterday the bullpen combined to go four innings with just one hit allowed to go with six strikeouts. Now, in a couple walks. Now
got a little bit of trouble there in the ninth.
Did, and they ultimately lost, obviously, in extra innings. Carlos Estevez made it very interesting himself in extra innings. Somehow got out of that. It was the most ridiculous balk call. I don't think I've seen a worse balk call.
Based on a lot of people who are on baseball, I guess that umpire and the Royals have had a number of run-ins.
Mm. I mean, Q was just shaking his head the whole time because there were some strike ball calls that were just questionable.
Oh, it was egregious. I can't get to automatic balls and strikes faster than watching that game yesterday.
With that said, the bullpen, not saying that there hasn't been issues. Sam Long hasn't been sharp yet. Chris Stratton.
Serpa struggled.
But overall, the bullpen, if you're looking at this team being 2-4, that's not anywhere near the top of the list, of course, of why this team is sitting at 2-4 in the first six games of the season. But what they continue to get from Lucas Hersag, is this the role they're going to use all year for him? Because I understand it's very easy to say, well, if he's that dominant, let him close. But I think they love him in this role, which is put out the fire. It's the heart of the order for a team in the seventh inning. We think that's the most important point in the game. We're going to put him out there. We know he's going to get outs for us, and he continues to excel at it.
He is going to end up like Cole Reagans is always going to overshadow any of the other trades that are made during this era because they got an ace of a pitching staff for a guy on a 6-month rental. So like that one's always going to overshadow it. we have not nearly discussed enough how big of a home run that Lucas Hurtsag trade was. They got a guy with 6 years of major league control who is an ultimate put out, as you mentioned, put out the fire guy for your team. Absolutely. Didn't. Right now, they're around league average for a bullpen ERA, about 3.6. It's still really low ERA. It's early in the season, so there's some teams with really low ones, including, I'm sure, the Dodgers or whatever first. I don't know. But when you look at where the bullpen is, I know it'd be easy to point out the negatives and be like, well, here's the guys who are struggling, right? It'd be easy to be like, well, Zerpa's not getting outs, or Long's actually had two, I think, consecutive scoreless outings now, even though it's been, like, as far as he didn't give up an ERA, at least now. So, like, I would say it's going a little bit better there, too. I have been very encouraged by the bullpen. Very happy with the depth and quality that they possess. Estevez got himself a little bit of trouble. He's got more in a track history to think he's going to be a star, and he got himself out of it. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble and you get yourself out of it. As you mentioned with Hurtsag, he's been fantastic. And I could go down the list between the other guys who I think have been really sharp outside of that. Now, look, we haven't really seen much of the Hunter Harvey experience.
Yeah.
Daniel Lynch has been incredible dating back to even last season. He's been really good. I've been highly encouraged. Is anyone else not feeling as good? I'm like, hey, you rebuilt the bullpen, and I think it might be one of the top 10 in baseball, top five in the American League with more potential forward.
For as concerning as the offense has been through the first six, the bullpen has to be extremely encouraging. In the thought heading into the year was, like, so far, nothing I don't think has surprised us. We thought the bullpen was going to become a strength for this team, and I would say that's already showed itself six games in. We thought that the offense was going to possibly struggle, and if it was going to improve, where would it have to improve? And six games in, the areas where it would need to improve for the offense to take a step forward have obviously not. So I don't think anything six games in, I keep saying it because it's crazy how early we are.
Yeah, I know. But now you care more six games in because of what they did last year.
But with that said, what we've seen, has anything surprised you? Like, maybe Mikel Garcia, I guess, on an individual level. But in general, nothing has been all that surprising.
No. Right now, I would say Stratton has struggled. I thought he was their worst reliever. No. Stratton struggled. Sam Long has struggled, but he's been better since that first outing in which he got kind of hammered. So you have to kind of ignore his ERA. Estevez has no ERA. Daniel Lynch has no ERA. Hunter Harvey has no ERA. All these guys have pitched. Lucas Hurtsag has no ERA. Like, there's been a couple of guys who have struggled a little, and again, what, an inning, two innings, three innings, maybe max for a number of those guys? Like, you'd be like, well, Strad's been no good. He's pitched 1 2/3 innings. Like, I look at the depth and I'm like, man, they can throw numbers at you. Like, if you say, hey, we got it, we need four innings and no runs scored today, they can do that. Four innings and no runs scored is easy. It's Daniel Lynch for two, Estevez for one, and Hurtsag for one. Like, if you just want to start there, that's before you even get to Hunter Harvey. Schreiber looked good yesterday. Like, I don't know. I'm feeling very encouraged about that. And like the text line said, it's like, the pitching ain't what I'm worried about.
No.
It is the ability to hit, because I'm encouraged by the starting rotation, too.
No doubt. Especially Cole Reagans bounced back after an opening day that wasn't as sharp as you would want. And Cole Reagans looked like Cole Reagans yesterday. 10 strikeouts, 5 innings. Yeah. I mean, that was what we saw all last season. So if you were worried, I guess, about him because of opening day, then that should be those concerns should be alleviated. We already talked about earlier the week Chris Bubich looked terrific. Michael Lorenzen for your fifth starter, you'll take that every single time. Like, go on and on and on. So yeah, it's the same question. I mean, that's what I said, Cody. I don't think anything has really changed about the questions we had around this team after 1 week of baseball. We knew the offense was a question mark. We knew the outfield in particular from Melendez and Renfro. We said, hey, if the offense is not going to struggle, well, then you better have production from Vinny, from Bobby, from India, and Salvi. Yeah. Well, yesterday they didn't get that. The day before they didn't get that. And what do you know? They don't score runs.
Did anybody place a bet? I'm curious. 913-586-7965. Anybody place a bet on Cole Reagans to lead league in strikeouts? He only had three in his first start.
So I didn't go back to the well. Last year I had him at 80-1. He finished top three. This year his odds were cut down to like 25-1. I didn't bet it because it's way
not nearly as good a value.
Yeah.
Although 10 strikeouts and 5 innings will make you feel like the strikeouts are coming.
That's right.
But again, he only had three in the first start because that's the way it works. And we'll talk more about the hitting here in just a little bit. I just wanted to know.
And the division that is everybody's 2-4.
You mentioned yesterday, happy anniversary to the Royals and Chiefs on a failed vote 1 year ago yesterday.
Yep.
The Chiefs and the Royals got absolutely hammered on the no side of the tax incentive continuation of the 3/8-cent sales tax to continue to fund the stadiums at the Truman Sports Complex, or in the Royals' case, for the downtown stadium there on that end. And I thought it was a really good question by Todd Palmer from KSHB, and I think you did too, which was the question he had asked on social yesterday, which was, hey, this happened a year ago. It was a big defeat. Does anyone feel different today? Like, do you feel like something has fundamentally changed? Let's just say right now they threw the same vote in front of you and they said, hey, you can have another chance today to vote on a 3/8-cent sales tax. Would you change your opinion on what took place? By the way, I already further think Jackson County is even more poorly run than it was before. They lost in court yesterday.
They did.
A judge said you can't tax people that much for their property taxes.
It was a great ruling for Jackson County residents. It could still be quite some time before they maybe get a refund or anything like that, but that was a great thing for them. I would say this. So I'll ask you guys on the text line. Cody used to live in Jackson County. I've never lived in Jackson County, so I didn't have a chance to vote.
I lived in Jackson County probably more than any other county.
So I didn't get a chance to vote last April, so there was no vote to be changed. I'm curious where you guys are at, because on one hand, I'm like, okay, is there a chance that people believe the possibility of going to Kansas is realer now a year later? Okay, I could hear that argument. I think that's clearly
more
realistic. But at the same time, even less as we sit today about what you would be voting on in this hypothetical. Even if you didn't like the plan and it was rushed,
you knew where it was.
You knew the Royals wanted downtown or had a plan for downtown. The Chiefs showed you a renovation, even if you didn't like it. Right this second, if you had to do a new vote today in this hypothetical, you don't know where anybody's at, and you don't know what anything looks like.
If it's a new stadium or a renovated
stadium.
Would they
lose by 16 points again? Maybe not. Maybe it'd be a little less. It still would not pass, I don't believe. And if it ever requires a public vote again in Jackson County, I think the only one that has any remote chance of passing is a Chiefs-only tax, personally.
Do people like the Chiefs that much more than the Royals? I already told you, I actually thought when the whole thing shook out, the Chiefs were the bigger problem. I do think a Chiefs-only, even full 3/8-cent sales tax would pass if it was for a new building.
And if you knew the Royals already had left the Metro, not the Metro, left the Missouri side.
Yes. Yeah. If anybody leaves the Missouri side and announces it first, the odds of you getting the things you need from Jackson County and the state and Missouri are just easier. Mm-hmm. Way easier than they were before. But like, truthfully, no, I feel about the same. Right now, a year ago, this is how I felt about it. I would have voted yes. I told you I would. I was not living in Jackson County at this time last year, so I did not vote on it. I told you I would have voted yes, even though I had plenty of issues with the plan in place by both teams. Mm-hmm. But I feel exactly the same. The Chiefs are still not leading the charge at all. They're just waiting for the Royals to do something and then doing their own thing. It still feels like, even though they're separate, the Royals are still the public-facing battering ram, essentially, for the entire stadium project's end of this deal. It's like they want the Royals to announce that they're doing something before they actually make their move. Because they think, and I think rightfully so, that if the Royals said, hey, we're going to, let's just call it the 119th and Nolan side, let's go to the Kansas side, doesn't matter. The Royals go to the Kansas side of the state line. They think it's a layup to get the money from Jackson County, from Missouri, from Kansas City Metro, whatever. I'm guessing they're like, Royals make the decision for us, and then we get to make our decision after. And yeah, I still think it should be a new stadium for Arrowhead. I still want downtown baseball. So like, if they put it on the ballot and it was the identical plan, I'd feel the same. I'd still vote for it. And I feel like more people would
I don't think it would pass, that
they'd worry. I don't think it'd pass. But I think it'd be closer based on the fact that Kansas is at an actual threat now.
Yeah, that's the only question. Now, I think it was KCMO Talk Radio yesterday had a report that they were hearing that the land in Kansas, they're basically been on hold or whatever. That the Chiefs maybe have extended the option on at least one piece of that land in Kansas through May 19th. And so timeline of what, like, around those dates, and this was from KCMO Talk Radio, but you have Missouri legislature wraps up right around then. We know the star bonds are set to expire in June or July on the Kansas side. And we know John Sherman had said that June or July is what they were looking at, maybe to have a plan in place to announce. The Chiefs, at one point it was spring, and here we are. And so I don't know where they're at. My point
they
being
said
is,
summer the last time John Sherman
could
spoke
we
to
get
us.
Some clarity end of May? Could we get some clarity end of May? You know, why would you extend out the land? Well, maybe you're trying to buy some time to find out is there still something else that Missouri can get done through the state legislature, things like that.
I did see as a result of the thing we mentioned earlier, the property tax. If you guys missed it and you don't live in Jackson County, there was the, as we mentioned, a judge's ruling that said it had to be capped at 25% for these property tax increases for these people who got like crazy property tax increases in Jackson County. Did you see that as a part of that? Several members of the city council and other were calling for Frank White to resign in disgrace because he was the person
the
in charge.
The whole Jackson County legislature is a mess. I mean, just a few days ago.
They all hate each other, man.
I think, they were trying to go after one of the legislators and call like a, saying there was a, declaring an emergency because they weren't happy with one of the legislators. The whole thing's what we knew a year ago.
Have you ever called for anyone to resign?
Have I ever called for anyone to
coach,
resign?
Coach, coworker.
Not in Kansas City, I don't think. Since I've been back, the teams have done pretty darn well.
Been no reason to call for it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so, actually, since I've been back in Kansas City at this point in time.
It could be anybody. Whoever.
Did you call for Andy Avalos to be fired when he was at Boise State
He was the defensive coordinator when I was there, so at that time he was fine. He wasn't the head coach yet. And Brian Harsin was doing fine.
Yeah.
And Leon Rice is still the men's basketball coach there. So there's been a lot of success sport wise in some of the markets I've been in.
I am curious.
What about you?
I see a lot of people say I don't think so. I was trying to think of an example. As if I've asked someone to
like
resign.
truly had a strong opinion on like this person needs to be let go.
So it's really tough because somebody taught me really early in this industry is that is the thing you should probably take most serious if you're going to take to the air. If you were going to say on the air, I think blank should be fired. I think this person, like, you better. That's not something you say flippantly because that's a person you could interact with, run into, speak to, and they have a job and a family and a wife and a kid, whatever, right? And so, like, if you're going to say, I think, like, even on this show, I said I was surprised that Peter Vermees was retained at previous times. I don't think you and I either outright said they need to just let the man go, or even in Dayton Moore's case. I don't think we ever, like, we questioned whether leadership was heading in the right direction. But it's tough because if you interact with those people at some point, I think, you know what? One, Cal Eldred, I take it back.
Okay.
I did, as you recall, ask him to be fired. So I didn't want him around. But that's about it, I think.
All right.
From like that definitive.
Let's get to it. All right. So this one takes us to a robbery in Madison County, Tennessee. Police are actually still searching for four suspects, although the surveillance video, I mean, it's pretty clear they're going to get these guys. You can very clearly see their face, but that's not the story. So there's CCTV footage showing the cashier speaking to two of the suspects, a man and a woman, after they approached the counter of a Citgo store in Tennessee. The man at the time was holding up a curled up ball python. A live ball python, as the woman was like petting the snake. Okay. So they're talking to this guy. At one stage, the male suspect places the reptile on the counter as the woman appears to be talking to like someone in the store off camera. While this is going on, they were robbing the store. So they use the python snake to distract the cashier while their friends were stealing what they believe was $400 worth of CBD oil. And I must say, if you look at the video, like, clear as day what they look like. They're going to get busted very easily.
Wow. What was it? 4K? That's the nicest security camera I've ever seen.
So I guess it's not, it's not armed robbery, but it's still robbery.
How does it work? Is that with a deadly weapon? If it's poisonous, does it count with a deadly weapon?
If it's a poisonous snake,
that's
what I'm asking. The article said that ball pythons are non-venomous.
I don't care. If I'm the clerk at the gas station, I am getting the hell away from the snake. I don't care.
I gotta be honest, man. I've never been robbed like at face to face, right?
I have.
I've had things stolen from
in
me.
In Houston, man. Robbed at gunpoint outside my apartment complex.
Yes. You would have rather been robbed with a snake than with a snake in front of you than a I agree. I think that makes sense.
My problem is I don't properly fear those. Like, I instead occasionally insert myself into this problem instead of educate. You're not holding me up with a snake. You're like, I got a snake. Like, get the hell out of here. What are you trying to do, man?
You just would have said, oh,
yeah,
screw you.
Get the hell out of here. I'm not giving you the cash because you showed me you have a snake.
No, but that's not the story. In this case, the cashier didn't know they were robbing them. They were having a conversation. Like, you brought in this snake. Oh, how, I don't know. How cute? I don't know. Like, you brought the snake.
So weird.
And meanwhile, someone else in the store stole something. The cashier was distracted. Yeah. Wasn't like, hey, we're going to have this snake bite you if you don't give us the CBD oil. That wasn't what was going on.
How much is $400 worth of CBD oil? You know, what's that? What's that?
$400?
How many vials is that? What's a typical?
What are you stealing CBD oil for anyway? CBD oil? Really? In Tennessee, is weed not legal?
There's so many.
It's not legal. Marijuana
maybe
not legal,
but
in
also there's so many, like, steal money if you're going to, like, you, by the way, just to be clear, whether you steal $400 worth of merchandise or $400 cash, you're held responsible for the same amount of things that you have stolen. So steal cash.
Someone says this is just theft.
Right? I mean, take
not
cash.
Robbery because it wasn't by force. They just distracted them.
Oh, maybe so. This headline's got it wrong. That sounds like a cop talking. Theft versus robbery.
It says police are hunting for four suspects who used two pythons to distract a cashier before stealing $400 worth of CBD oil from a Citgo store.
Maybe they just really needed some CBD.
Super anxious.
They needed to relax a little bit. Yeah.
They're always trying to sell me like CBD stuff for my like dog at the pet store, you know? Does that stuff
they
work?
Also have,
my dog gets straight up Xanax.
They also have surveillance video of the vehicle they drive off. I mean, these people are so screwed. I mean, crystal clear video.
You might as well just turn yourself
four-door. It says the vehicle's boot, the vehicle was tied with bungee cords and ended its appeal with hashtag moron. The trunk. The reason why it says boot, the article I'm reading is from Sky News, so they're using terms. They said his boot, the boot of the vehicle, the trunk. The trunk was tied with bungee cords.
Like, are there any like phrases that are in other countries you kind of like? I like boot for trunk. I actually think we should switch. I like the way it sounds better. I kind of prefer it to our own personal phrase.
I've got my golf clubs in the boot of my car.
Yeah, it's way more fun.
It's not going to fit in the boot. Yeah.
Way more fun. I think I would adopt that one if we would all just agree to call it that.
Yeah.
The text line's getting creative.
I also think we should call it holiday instead of vacation.
Yeah, Drew, some of those we can't read.
I know that. That's why I'm not reading them. I'm just saying they're suggesting some ideas.
Restrictors, not poisonous.
See, that's why it would also scare me though, is that not that it's gonna happen. Like, it's cool to see from a distance. Snakes are awesome. In the same vicinity as one that could, who knows, either strike or strangle you essentially. I'll keep my distance, please. And maybe I would get distracted as well for the reasons of not, hey, this is cool, but keep me away from this thing.
Okay.
That is the trash of the day. From Tennessee today.
Somebody says they think it might be legal in Nashville, but not in the entire state.
A weed?
Can they do that? I mean, I guess you could. Municipal.
In Louisiana, I think different parishes have
it's like dry sports, county versus non-dry county
have sports betting, whereas some other parishes do not. So I think that's a possibility.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's some parishes down there have legal sports betting and some don't.
I can't believe you would choose to live in a dry county. No way. Couldn't be me. I'm not living life like that. I need the option.
You know, some people don't care though. You know,
and I haven't had I've had like one drink in the last like 2 weeks, and even still, I don't want to live in a dry county.
Someone from this is what I picture when you were saying boot for trunk, Cody. What's inside your boot, sir? That just comes across as a British thing for sure.
I think we should adopt it. That and holiday. You and I in a month, when we go to Nick's vacation, holiday. We're going on holiday.
Yes.
I like that better than
vacation. I do like saying holiday. I'm going on holiday this weekend. Yeah. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, what two anonymous executives have to say about one of the Chiefs signing from the offseason, and yet another team is also having trouble with their stadium talks. We'll tell you where next.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Cole Reagans, and you're listening to Cody and Gold. Weekdays starting at 10 on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
All right, baseball fans, let's take a swing at making entries on all of your favorite players over at Underdog. Baseball's back, as you know. Off day today for KC, but they'll be back in KC tomorrow. Underdog is one of the leading sports apps. You can play on the Missouri side. You could be sitting at the stadium tomorrow making that entry with Underdog. All you got to do is choose which players will go higher or lower than their stats. Today, I'm going higher than Shohei and Ellie on the home run total. Why not, right? Feels like with the torpedo bat, that just continues. They've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. And with millions of fans who have already won billions, you can join them over at Underdog. Download that Underdog app today. Sign up using the promo code TAP, T-A-P-P, to unlock a special offer for up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. That's promo code TAP, T-A-P-P, to get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon your first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and just in time for the Red Half Hour, a small move during the break. Tom Pelissero is reporting that veteran safety Mike Edwards signing with the Chiefs on a one-year deal. Remember, he was with the Chiefs 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. Now he's back. Last year, he spent portion of his season in Buffalo, a portion of the season in Tampa. He'll turn 29 next month. Look, they lost Justin Reed. They have young guys that are ready to step up, but this gives you a veteran in the room still that can help the young guys out some more. Maybe can help them in the run game a little bit. So yeah, look, it's a one-year deal. Why not, right?
I mean, there's no harm in it. I was actually looking it up. He played for two teams last year, so he's just kind of like a vet who bounces around and does whatever. Pro Football Focus still really likes his play. 72 overall grade, 37th out of 171 qualified safeties. 83.5 run defense grade, 12th out of 171 safeties. And 46th on his coverage grade. The only thing he rated poor at is pass rush, which They got plenty of guys who can do that, so I guess I don't overly worry about it. I hadn't been, like, clamoring for it, and the Chiefs do seem to be doing kind of a heavy dose of let's put the band back together sometimes, but on one-year deals for no money, I don't care. Like, I'm not offended by it, and they got a younger corner group now that some of those guys have gone, now that Snead is gone, now that some other safety, now that Justin Reed, as you mentioned, is gone. It's fine. Mike Edwards is a perfectly fine signing. What's he going to sign for? A couple million bucks? Did you see the number?
Just, I haven't seen a dollar amount. One-year deal. I mean, maybe there's some incentive. $2 million, $3 million? Maybe I'm off on that, but
no,
I would be surprised if it's more than that. But look, you just
want a Super Bowl here?
Veteran guy to add to a safety room that's going to have some young guys, and that's basically all we're talking about. He'll make the team. I mean, he's going to make the team, and he'll, you know, does he come up with one big play like he did when he was here 2 years ago? That's all that matters.
A lot of this could just mean that they're not taking a safety in the fifth, right? Maybe they don't like the safety depth in the fourth round, the fifth round. Like, oh, we'll bring in another guy. He'll compete. We'll add some challenges. And they're like, eh, let's just take that off the table. Let's give this guy $3 million. He already knows Spag system. We can make everybody comfortable and we don't have to think too hard about it. This is not the, when I'd asked the question earlier of, you know, Brett Veach makes big moves before the draft sometimes.
This wasn't it.
Not what I had in mind. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that this falls in that category. But, you know, we can talk about that more in a minute because I don't think it was coming at safety anyway, realistically.
No. Now, I do want to talk about how people around the league are viewing what the Chiefs have done. So The Athletic's Mike Sando spoke to several NFL executives who basically, it's kind of a cool article. They anonymously share some of their, what are supposed to be unfiltered, you know, thoughts on every team's moves. And it's always interesting read. And we know the Chiefs' biggest move was signing Jalen Moore to a two-year deal to be their starting left tackle for this year and hopefully beyond, right? 2 years, $30 million deal. And the anonymous executives that were mentioned in this were divided. They were split. Two executives spoke to him on the signing. One of the quotes, Jalen Moore has had durability issues. He has never been a frontline player, and he's been projected in a system that is not drop-back heavy. So I do not love that move. That's what one executive
very different schemes
had to say. Yeah.
Although durability, he's just wrong. Like, either he didn't do the research or not. He's had two injuries. One was in week 16 of a regular season. So I don't know how you're claiming that was a durability issue. And he had one other one in his 5 years. So it's like, it's not technically accurate. He hasn't had severe durability issues unless there's something internally about his durability that we don't know about. He's mostly been available to play. The scheme thing, that actually seems pretty fair. Kyle Shanahan's scheme is nothing like Andy Reid's scheme. They are very, very, very different philosophies, very different approaches, very different blocking styles. Like, to say, like, well, we'll just plug and play and make that work, I mean, I could understand why you'd have concerns on that.
Another executive in this article about the same Jalen Moore signing said, quote, I'm sure some will say they did a bad job there, but really, they took a $15 million per year shot at a guy who has upside, and if it doesn't work out, at worst, he is going to be an overpaid swing tackle for them next year. That is not a terrible outcome, whereas Tennessee gave Daniel Moore $50 million over 2 years, which was crazy to me. That's what another executive had, and that was kind of more, the Dan Moore thing was a point that was made early on from a lot of people, which was, out of the available options for the Chiefs, once Ronnie Stanley never hit the open market, I do think they got the best option. Does it mean that it's problem solved? We're going to all find out. I have no idea. But I do think they had the best move given available. Who was truly available. And I think also putting into factor the draft.
Absent, like, let's call it a statistical anomaly. Bottom 5% likelihood, top 5% likelihood. I feel like still, though, the thing with Jalen Moore and where I think some of these execs are right is the realistic ceiling, I'll call it. Not the, like, S-tier out of this world in which he's so good, they just give him a contract extension and he's their left tackle for the next 6 years.
Well, that's a dream, yeah.
That, but, like, that seems so unrealistic to even discuss as a possibility. The best case scenario feels like he's a 1 year starter, they draft his replacement, and then they put him in a competition to either win the job in year two, and that's his final year under contract, or he loses the job and he's a 1 year mediocre, decent left tackle. That feels like the ceiling. Is it he's a pretty good left tackle starter and you don't notice any problems?
Yeah, I think there's, so look, I agree with you that the dream home run scenario, of course, is he plays above what 2% what people
chance
think.
Or 5% chance.
Yeah, and he plays great and you're like, wow, problem solved. I actually think the other scenario that is fairly likely, it still is a positive outcome, which is Jalen Moore plays pretty decent at left tackle. Jawan Taylor is gone after this next year, and you move Jalen Moore to right tackle and he becomes your long-term answer at right tackle, and you still need to then dress.
That's
left
probably
tackle.
Like, yeah, that's probably like, if I said best case scenario, realistic best case scenario, what you're describing is what I would think would be reality best case, right? As in the other one, we understand there is a statistical chance in which, but I think it's a small statistical chance that he's just the hero at left tackle we've all been waiting for, who happened to be available for 2 for $20, and now you can sign to a real contract. By the way, in what world, how good would he have to be for you to get a year into that contract and be like, oh yeah, there he is? He'd have to be stellar for you to be so confident that a year, 2 years into the deal, you're like, that's our answer for the next 5 years. I'm going to pay him tackle money that's like $40 million a year at this point.
Yeah, he would have to end up being a consensus, like top 10 tackle in the league in 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be like one of, like, everyone would have to agree. Not like the Chiefs. Everyone would have to agree. He's one of the best left tackles in the sport out of nowhere. And I just, that I don't see. The right tackle thing, I'm intrigued by that play. If the Chiefs were playing long game and they're telling themselves, and I still think Wanye might be the we give him a 2-year extension, we don't pay him a lot of money, he's our right tackle kind of answer, could be there too. But if the long play is, we're still going to find our long-term left tackle in the draft this year or next year, and Moore's going to switch to right next year, it's going to buy us a year, and if he's really good there, contract extension, and we'll make it work because he'll still cost less because he'll have no... The one thing it is, like, if they give him a second contract, he won't cost very much because there'll be no track record. Zero. I mean, 7 games or 9 games or whatever the hell it was for the 49ers and a couple of game seasons for the Chiefs, that's not enough to get, like, paid, in my opinion. Not paid like Trent Williams or top left tackle money, top right tackle money.
So interesting, just differing opinions from a couple of executives. But Mike Sando, if you check it on The Athletic,
it's interesting.
It's always a fun read every year when you kind of do get the unfiltered thoughts when guys are anonymous, and so you get maybe their true feeling on other teams' moves, stuff they would never say publicly, of course. That sound, someone said we need to change the sound in the springtime.
Yeah, it's a little tougher this time of year. There were like tornado warnings.
But the mock draft sound, we only have 3 more weeks of it, all right? 3 more weeks of it. When the draft is done, we will
unless
no longer
we do
have
that day after one where Todd McShay does his 2026 mock.
Mm-hmm. All right, Drew. This means you found another one.
Well, speaking of anonymous coaches, Bruce Feldman, who mainly covers college football for Fox, or for The Athletic, sorry, used to be Fox, spoke to multiple college coaches on his mock draft. It's just a one-rounder, but this is a new name for the Kansas City Chiefs at 31. They're not trading back. I promise it's not to the Raiders, of course. It's not Luther Burden, though. It is a defensive lineman, edge rusher Shamar Stewart, from Texas A&M. He got a lot of coaches' opinions on every single pick across the nation in terms of what they saw. He's a guy that maybe has more high upside than what you saw on-field production-wise. He said in his description, Stewart has elite traits and has been quite disruptive at times, but whether it eventually translates into big plays is one of the biggest questions of the draft. So it's like if he was more productive in college, I think he'd go way higher, but he wasn't as productive as maybe what his traits and what his physical size essentially would maybe convey. It is interesting. There was one coach, there was SEC tight ends coach of all things that said he's not as good as the Georgia guys, but he has so much upside. He's long, can run, will definitely flash. I think he's more talented than Tyree Wilson, a guy that the Raiders took a few years ago, but not necessarily high-end enough production to take him in the top 10 or top 15.
His comp is Roy Robertson Harris.
Who?
I don't know who that is.
I recognize the name, actually.
Where does he pull these names from?
Did he play at Denver for a while? I might be dead wrong. I'm just taking guesses at players now.
Roy Robertson Harris. He's a Jag in this photo.
Robertson Harris, I think, rings a bell.
Just another guy or like actually a Jaguar? Or is he just another dude in the world?
No, he was a Jacksonville Jaguar last year. Okay. He's played 8 years in the league. I swear to God, I've never heard of this guy. That's crazy. He's played for Chicago, Jacksonville, and he actually finished up last year. He started with Jacksonville and was with Seattle at the end.
So that's the comp.
8-year pro, though.
The strengths, we always go to NFL Network to see if there's any interesting phrases around the draft profile. Here you go. Has bend to turn and flatten the edge and hunt the passer. Exceptional chase speed. First step burst. Good bend to create danger in the gaps.
To give you some stats from college, three seasons at Texas A&M, you're probably not going to like this too much. 4.5 sacks and 11 tackles for loss in 3 seasons. Not great, not again, productive. On-field production. But, I mean, he ran a 4.6 40. Of course, it doesn't matter necessarily with a defensive lineman. He's got 34 and an eighth inch arm, so longer than some of the offensive tackles for this draft. Like, he's got the traits to be really good. It's just that you don't see it when you look at the tape necessarily, especially compared to other edge rushers in
this draft. Is this the first round guy, really? Like, I'm reading, like, it says, in desperate need of some go-to moves to kickstart his rush. Is this a guy, is a first round guy?
There's a number of people, there's a number of mocks that have him in the first round because of the upside, Cody.
What was his RAS score, you know?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
What was Shamar Stewart's RAS score? I like good athletes. Also, the Chiefs do. Like, if we're, like, in a joke a little bit, the Chiefs actually really like just drafting pure athletes, especially on the defensive line, and they're like, we'll teach him how to play. Good. Shamar Stewart at defensive end scored a 9.99 out of a possible 10 on the RAS.
Super athletic.
He ranked third out of a possible 1,802 defensive ends from 1987 to 2025. So, literally, can't be a better athlete at defensive end, Gold. There are two people who have somehow managed to score higher than him. I guess they were perfect 10s.
Yeah.
Because he's a 9.99. Weight is legitimately the only thing he apparently is low in the score.
Yeah, I mean, Next Gen Stats has him as the fourth most athletic edge rusher available in this year's draft.
If you are curious at where the rest of the division goes, 22, Chargers take Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan.
They saw Brock Bowers do some wonders against the Chiefs, and they thought, let's get in on the game. Okay.
Denver Broncos taking Matthew Golden, a guy who had a ridiculously good college football playoff for Texas at 20. And then if you go to the Raiders, they also trade up into the first round, the end of the first round with the Eagles. They take Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver from Ohio State. But at 6, they take Jalen Walker, edge rusher out of Georgia. So they get somebody paired up with Max Crosby, also get a wide receiver on the back end to help out
Geno Smith
in their situation.
I'm usually anti-safety in the first round. I'm starting to talk myself into Eamon Warrior. For some reason, he fell.
I mean, he's a 10 such out of a 10 dangerous game score.
You another just like freak athlete, and they don't have any safeties the way they don't draft safeties the way some teams draft safeties, where like the tweener players have become again popular again in the NFL. I don't know. Like, it seems like he could just kind of play everywhere. I'm not fully bought in. I'm just saying, like, I'm starting.
If you
want to
put him in the slot, put him in the slot. You want him outside. You can do outside linebacker. You know,
he's also just huge. They love a big bodied defensive back. 227, 6'3". That's a big man.
If you don't feel good about an offensive or a defensive lineman in that spot, you might just take him because he might be the best player available for you.
Is he going to go in like the 15s or 20s though? I get confused by. There's these players, the 15 to 30 range, and this is evident in people's mock drafts. I can't tell if a guy like Luther Burden, I can't tell if he's going 17th or 41. I don't know. And with like Eamon Warrior, I've seen him as high as like 15, and I've seen him at the end of the first round or the beginning of the second round for the Chiefs. I was just like, okay.
There was one of the things that was brought up around Luther Burden of, not that he didn't try, but he didn't finish plays out to the liking, like, and I don't know if that was. I got Drew Pine as my quarterback, and I not getting thrown
the
ball.
I got Drew Pine, and I'm mailing it in.
I'll be totally honest. Like, I think that might be some of it, but I think that was some of the conversation around him. Is he's got the traits, but they point to last year as to why they shouldn't take him early on. But again, you have to look at the quarterback situation. I think when you're looking at a guy like Luther Burden,
someone said one of the two people who finished higher in the RAS score was probably Troy Geary.
The gear.
Probably the number one RAS core defensive end from 1987 to 2025, you know?
Jeez. The gear.
If we're looking at...
I wonder if he'll be in Green Bay for the draft.
If we're looking at the 80s, what do you think the...
Should be afraid to fly, you know?
What do you think a 10 or a 9.99 RAS score would have been in the 80s? Like a 5.240?
Yeah, probably.
That's also probably true.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, you're beating anybody from the 80s. Yeah. The only people they say from 85, but you're not competing against anybody from that era.
Oh, yeah.
Athletes change.
This guy looked great against this offensive lineman who was 245 pounds. Well, no kidding.
Slightly different times, man. Slightly different times. Any other good comps?
No, I was trying to find the latest offshore odds on position for the Chiefs, the position to be drafted. We get a little bit closer. Some of the books already had it. Right now, DraftKings doesn't have the, or FanDuel have it up, but I was trying to see the favorite position now
the
for
other
the Chiefs
guy
to
at
draft at first.
If you
first
had to
round.
Pick between the A&M guys, you'd want Nick Scorton more than you would Shamar Stewart because... Nick Scorton, a little bit older, you know, and everything, but he's got more production with college. They have him going a few picks earlier, actually. That's Binks guy, the guy that played at Purdue, went to A&M as well.
Another Purdue guy. Okay.
But Shamar Stewart always been at A&M.
Reminder, tonight, Bink, Chris and O'Sara will be providing a lot of draft coverage tonight, 6 o'clock this evening. They'll be talking all things draft. And then tomorrow, Bink's in for Cody, so you know we'll work in some draft talk tomorrow on the show.
Are they coming
as
out
well.
With a new mock tonight? I don't think they're...
I don't know. I know tonight's a draft special because they're 3 weeks out. 3 weeks Their special out at the Landing in Liberty.
Yeah, don't forget to come join us at the Landing in Liberty 3 weeks from today for the first round of the NFL Draft. If you get enough picks right, you have a chance to win $965 plus, as you mentioned, an autographed Chiefs helmet to go with it as well. Plus, it's just a good time. We, on this show, have continued to encourage you to get your table early. And having attended this event the last 2 years in a row, it gets busy. Place gets packed pretty early on. Obviously, a very popular night for the draft party. Really excited to be at the Landing again. So, yeah, get your table squared away. Get some buddies. Get everybody together. Come on out and give yourself a chance to win $965. I don't remember how he did last year. I filled it out, but nobody scored ours or nobody
I don't think they scored ours.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, we weren't eligible to win, but I don't think I don't think we did that great. The first 10 picks were with the Michael Penix thing, definitely.
My mom
threw
asked
people's
me
off. And if when you go to this event on Thursday, April 24th at the Landing, real quick, I was gonna say, if you see anybody wearing a Cincinnati jersey,
just go ahead.
You can harass that person if they're wearing. I'll give you permission. If they're wearing Cincinnati
there
gear,
there will be
at
somebody wearing
party.
It.
I think there might be one person. If you do that,
hard to say for sure.
But. Yeah, I'm not sure who it could be, but you can harass that person throughout the night.
There will be somebody in a Bengals jersey. I promise. No, my mom was asking me about. I totally forgot that we actually did the contest because my mom was like, "Are you doing the contest again?" I was like, "What? What do you mean?" She was like, "Where you pick all the draft picks? Because you did pretty good last year." I was like,
"They don't let us win the $965."
I don't remember that, but and then she was like, "No, you did the contest like with everybody. All the guys did it." I was like, "Oh, okay. I had no idea." She remembered it before I did.
I think we should get to win it. You know, if I get the odds are I'm not. Just to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Very low odds. Look at my NCAA bracket. It's not like I'm finishing at the top of the standings, but
yeah.
You know, I want equal rights to the $965.
We have a $9.65 pool between the station personalities.
Everyone chip in $965?
I like it. Well, I'll be honest. If
just between us.
Bink or Chris should win then. I just think Bink or Chris, given the draft expert nature, they should
very,
do it.
Much like, it's very hard to predict.
It's like picking the brackets.
Like, I think I would take Cam Ward 1, and then I'm already confused. Is it Hunter or Abdul Carter? Are they just doing smoke screens and it's actually Sanders? Right?
Yeah. Someone says, Drew, you can fill one out under my name. We can split the profit. Doesn't work like that.
There will be somebody in a Bengals jersey, though. I can't quite pinpoint who it would be, but there's going to be at least somebody there.
I hope it's a more relevant one than AJ Green.
Damn, see, that's the thing.
You keep wearing it. You have Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase on your team, and you're wearing
the AJ Green.
Yeah, you're wearing the AJ Green jersey. Okay, what's up with that?
The reason that I wear is because...
Go get your Andy Dalton jersey and wear that one,
I don't have an Andy Dalton jersey. The reason why is because...
Kelly Smith.
The reason why is because if I spill... I don't want to spill anything on the Burrow jersey. I'm very... I'm dead serious. Dead serious. I don't want to accidentally have the Angry Orchard tip over and it spill on the jersey and just ruin the jersey.
Angry Orchard.
Tough.
Hey, guys, calm down, all right? Or, hey, if there's a sunshine, maybe I have a sunshine and tip because that was very
good
the other
day. How were those last week? I wasn't here.
I think Carbonation actually would have made it a little bit better, but it was very good. It goes down easy, as Gold would say. But, yes, I'm not going to wear the Joe Burrow jersey. It's not going to happen. It'll be the AJ Green jersey again.
Text line's bragging. They say they're in the 99th percentile of ESPN. Are you still in the first of the three of us on the CBS bracket? I mean, nothing's changed.
Nothing's really changed. Yes, I am.
I haven't checked in a while.
The surf side.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Whatever it's called.
The bracket challenge. We can get an update on that tomorrow if you guys want.
Sure.
I don't want an update.
You do?
No, I don't. I don't.
You're not. I'll tell you this. I know you're not bottom 10. You still might be bottom 15.
I'm still not bottom 10.
But you are.
That's tough.
No, that person who had their final four was a disaster.
Cam. I think our buddy Cam or somebody else is.
Yeah, they had 53 points remaining, I think you said.
I don't know if Cam ended up finishing last or not.
How did somebody sink below him? They get every pick wrong after that?
It was pretty ugly. Real quick, now you're going to make me check. I guess we can do it now.
Can we at least, I just want to know who's in last.
Last place in our Cody and Gold bracket challenge that we've done, knowing that the final four is still taking place this weekend. Last place is Tate C, 38th possible.
Man.
Yeah, 38.
That's
tough, he's already maxed out. He's done. 38.
Damn, so he's going to finish last no matter what?
He's guaranteed last now.
Oh,
Cam, our buddy Cam, 45 points. He's maxed out now. Rams G is third to last. Drew, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You're like 14th from the bottom.
14th from the bottom, Drew?
I'm going to need Florida to win the national title then if I want to gain any ground. But at this point,
I'm in a respectable 155th place, you know?
Drew, you could still you could still get some points, though.
Yeah,
Drew,
we have Florida.
All of a sudden, Drew can end up not being there at the bottom.
Drew, in retrospect, no, I mean, yeah, Florida. He has one remaining
first
team,
place,
Florida.
Though, I will say, shout out to Tanner T and Jake R. They're 1-2, and also Philip B., although Jake R. has no chance to win because he has the same picks as Tanner. So unfortunately, it's basically going to either be Tanner or Philip or Jeremy that win this thing.
Because
Jeremy
has
Florida. Well, Tanner has Duke, Philip has Houston, and Jeremy has Florida. So that'll decide it.
Nobody had Houston? Who's in the...
Houston, Philip.
Philip. Okay, I was about to say.
Nobody had Auburn.
Nobody had Auburn. And there, someone that's 18th right now had Auburn, but he can't win at all. He can't catch up.
I don't have points to catch up. Yeah. Tough.
Impressive
what
showing.
Place were you in?
Right now, 90-something.
Hey, top
100. You're 170.
It said 155.
Oh, 155. Drew, whatever that would have been, the 14th of the bottom, 260-something.
I do still have three of my final four remaining, so I can still pick up some points.
Oh, you can. Well, yeah. If Duke were to lose to Houston, I'm going to fall way back.
Who do you have winning the whole thing?
Duke.
Florida. I had Florida over Duke. So I need Florida to win. And
you at least
Duke
need a national title to be set, and you might be able to catch gold.
Yeah, I might. You know what? And after finishing last out of the three of us last year, that'd be a nice. And even though I had started well, that'd be a nice way to finish the bracket. Drew, your team's dead. Your bracket.
Oh yeah, we've been dead since game one, boys. I mean, literally game one. Louisville did not do me any favors. It was over from there.
People are torturing you right now in the text line for variety. Drew, it's not good. People are giving you a hard time about the jersey and worrying about spilling a drink on the Burrow jersey. It's not pretty right now for you, man.
Jerseys are meant to be like. Jerseys are like worn in a dangerous situation. I mean, you're wearing them to games.
Someone
you're wearing
says,
them to the
Angry
bar.
Orchard does fit with that Bengals jersey. Someone else called you a very nasty word.
Wait, what?
It's ugly for you on the text line right now. 913-586-7965. Up next, we'll get to
what's
trending. And then talk more about the dominant outing from Cole Reagans, but yet the offense continues to be a question.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's a new season, but it's always truck season at your local Chevy dealer. And right now is the perfect time to find your own. If you're a truck person, then you get it. Hauling, towing, reliability, Chevy trucks deliver. Check out ChevyDriveChicago.com. They've got all the info you need to research your future Chevy truck and find a dealer near you. Now, maybe a truck isn't exactly what you're thinking. Maybe you need something a little more city-friendly, something easier for summer street parking. We get it. And Chevy's SUV lineup? Seriously impressive. Great styles, great prices. You'll look good and you'll feel good knowing you made a smart choice. And hey, maybe you're leaning toward the future. If an EV is on your mind, then your local Chevy dealer is ready to blow you away. They're ready to put you behind the wheel for a test drive and show you all the latest technology in these top-tier electric SUVs. Seriously, go check them out. Whatever you're looking for, head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Learn more, find your local dealer, and get ready to drive away happy. Because you deserve a Chevy.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.